Three scriptures tonight. The first one is in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, 1-6. And I would like to read just verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Then can we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 21. John's Gospel, chapter 21, if we could please read from verse 19 down to verse 22. So John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 19. "But he said this, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And having said this, he says to him," that is Peter, "follow me." Peter, turning round, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned at the supper on his breast, and said, "Lord, who is it that delivers thee up?" Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, "Lord, and what of this man?" Jesus says to him, "If I will that he abide until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And the last passage is still in the Gospel of John, but we're turning to chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And we're just going to read verse 26. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 26. "If anyone serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall be my servant. And if anyone serve me, him shall the Father honor." So if I was to give a title to the word tonight, I would write this: Following Jesus, the service of a Christian disciple. Followers. Does this word sound familiar? And I'm looking to younger people, especially. Do you know what a follower is today in the world in 2024? It is a word that is also in the Oxford Dictionary, because I looked it up before coming. And it has to do with social media. Now, to be a follower in the social media world means that you press a button and you say, "I want to be a follower of this man, this lady, this young boy, this young girl." And I know some of you may look at me strangely, but the younger ones won't look at me strangely. I bet you. I know it. Everything revolves around being a follower today. Kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, with a phone in their hands, they are followers, and they go around to the friends and say, "I have 10 followers, 20 followers, 13 followers. Oh, I've got 52, I've got 86. What are we talking about? What is it all about? Well, let me put things in perspective. You know who the greatest man in the world at the moment in the top 10, or the first place, for those who love football, is Cristiano Ronaldo. He has something like 4 million followers. And you know what this means? That every time this young chap, he's exactly my age, I have 0, by the way, 0. This young chap puts something on the social media, 4 million phones beep in the world, and he gets in his pocket something like $3.5 million. I'm going to stop about speaking about followers. We're not here to speak about politics. We're not here to speak of trends. We are not here, dear friends, just to have a fun time, a waffle. We're here to tell you and to share with you the joy of following the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to put things in context. I am not here to tell you that social media is wrong. I leave that to your parents. I'm not here to tell you that you can't do any of these things. It's up to you, dear friend, dear brother, dear sister, to discern what is right or what is wrong. But I am here to tell you of a great man. Of a great man. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I would desire that as you go out of this room tonight, if you've forgotten everything that we've said, you may have a burning desire in your heart to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that this appeal may reach your heart today. So, as we did for the reading, I'm hopefully going to try and make it a little bit simpler for the younger ones. So, what I've done, I've tried to do, I might have failed, but I'm weak, is I've tried to pick three R's, okay, like R's for rat, in this question of following Christ, following Jesus. So the first R is requirements. The second R is responsibilities. And the third R is results. Okay? So if you younger ones manage to write these down, I hope they will stand and be with you as you go out of this room. Okay? For every R, for every passage, for every situation, we've got two passages. And these passages, the idea is that they should be as practical as possible. Because I've been sitting around there before, and I know how it is for young ones and how boring it can get. But it's not boring, my dear friend. And things must be told rightly. So it is my desire to speak rightly of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I found this fascinating as I discovered and explored Scripture. But let me tell you, let's start with requirements to be a follower of Christ. Well, you might be amazed. You might be amazed. The first requirement, the first thing is to have a desire to follow Christ. Look at what it says here in Matthew 16. Jesus said to his disciples, do you know who disciples are? They are followers of the Master. Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, to follow me. The main requirement, the main point is to desire to be a follower. You know, as you get that phone and click and say, I want to know all about this man, you click. You desire to have it. It only takes a click. Well, let me tell you, to be a follower of Christ is even faster. You don't even need to have your phone. You don't need to have Wi-Fi. You don't need to have connection. You can just say, I desire to follow you. And I pray that if there's anyone in this room that still has not desired to follow Christ, that he might have this appeal, this desire tonight, in this moment, my dear friend. You know, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. God manifested in flesh. How great is that? The entire history of humanity. People are discussing, fighting over, is it a God? What is he? He's mine, he's yours, he's God of the thunder, he's God of the lightning, he's in the sun, he's in the rain. What are we talking about? There's only one God, my dear friends. There's only one true God. Manifested himself in flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ. A man that came down here, walked as me and you, down here in flesh, and manifested God's power, God's love, God's care for you and me. And his desire, having revealed himself, is that you may love him. and that you may believe in him. And it's so simple. You know, things, people make things complicated. I've made things complicated hundreds of times. You know, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ simply means to believe that Christ really came in this world, that he really was God manifested in flesh, and that he really died on that cross at Calvary because of your sin, because of my sin, not his own. And he shed his blood so that if you trust in him, his blood cleanses you from all sins. How beautiful is that? Christ then died on that cross. He was buried and then he raised. And Christ is now in heaven. And he's looking upon you now. He's looking at you. He knows exactly who's here. And he knows exactly who's sleeping. He knows exactly who's listening. He knows exactly what your desire is. And it's not for me. It's for him and for you, dear friend. May you turn to him. So, let's get back to the subject. Following Christ. Now, it's a desire. It has to be a desire. You need to have that desire. And I wish to impress this on you. Don't think you can follow Christ by just, oh yeah, I'm going to church, I'm going to the meetings, I'm going to, oh yeah, I read my Bible every day. No, wait. You need to go back before that. You need to have a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's a desire, it's something that is burning in you. When you're hungry and you want to eat, I want to eat. We went in the house yesterday, a little girl said, I am hungry. She said it about 100 times. She was hungry. She had to eat. Okay? So it's a desire. It's something to be real in you. Now, this verse brings before us interesting requirements. Now, our brother David, in his prayer, spoke before at the end of the reading, said that those that have followed Christ, some of them had to pay a high price. Now, this is where we start. It has to be a desire, but there's a cost involved. Of course there is. And I can tell you that even in the social media, you think it doesn't cost you anything. It costs you a lot of money because those people get paid because you follow them. All right? So let's put things in context. Now, this verse, what does the Lord Jesus say himself? It's not the words that I tell you tonight that I want you to remember. Is the words the Lord Jesus tells you that I want you to remember. And the Lord says, if anyone desires to come after me, what does it say? Let him deny himself. Oh, wow. What is that all about? What is it all about? Well, there's a verse that is helpful. You don't have necessarily to turn to it if you want. But the point is this. The previous verse there, 23, says that the Lord said to Peter that he had the mind on the things of men rather than the things of God. So to put it in context, to deny oneself means to forgetting the things that we want and that we desire and turning our minds to the things that God desires and God wants. Now Peter puts it a nice way. He says, I think it's 1 Peter 2. Verse 11, it says, beloved, I exhort you as strangers and sojourners to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So if you want to be a follower of Christ, you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has possession. He has conquered your heart, your soul. It is forever. So what happens is that when we come to this problem where we have fleshly feelings and anger, envy, jealousy, and so we can go on, okay, these feelings that come up every day in me, we have to fight them. We have to flee from them. We have to set them, put them back, put them away, run away from them. So that, you know why? Because they war against the soul. They war against God himself. So that we end up being confused and we put man's things before God's things. Well, if you're to be a follower of Christ, set it right. God's things first, man's things after. We'll see how we can do this, okay? Don't worry. We'll see how with the Lord's help. Now, if this was challenging, the next one is even more challenging. He says, the Lord carries on, doesn't stop, does he? He says, take up his cross. What is this all about? Well, we spoke about the cross a little bit, didn't we? So if I say cross in a Christian environment, most people will think of the cross of Christ. Will think that the Lord Jesus was hanged on the cross, and where he died and bled for me and for you. Now, but this doesn't say take up the Lord's cross. We could never do that. None of us could ever, ever, ever do that. And that's not what is involved in following Christ. What is involved is taking up. It says, his cross and follow me. Now, I thought maybe it helps of a verse in Hebrews 13. Verse 13, it says, let us go forth to him without the camp, so outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, sometimes, or many times, to be a follower of Christ is shameful in this world. You know, I am amazed how many times the name of Christ is mentioned in my company. Multiple times an hour. But never in the right way. So if you're a follower of Christ, you've got to bear his reproach. It's shameful, dear friend, in this world. But we're going to see the results. We're going to see how amazing it is and what's involved in it. But remember, it's not an easy thing. It's an easy thing to be a follower of Cristiano Ronaldo. He doesn't even know you. He doesn't care for you. Christ knows you. He cares for you. He loves you. But to go around and tell, I am a follower of Christ, you would be looked at weirdly, as a weirdo. I tell you, I've lived many years as a weirdo in Italy. This is a requirement. Remember, I want to be honest and truthful and speak truthfully of the truth. This is what Scripture tells us. It's not something I've invented. The Lord says, if you love me, the world will hate you because the world has hated me. Now, though, we move on to the second R. And the second R is responsibilities. So before we look at the two responsibilities that I want to point out, I want to introduce you the responsibilities in this way. Remember that to follow Christ is a commandment of Christ himself. I said before that we need to have a desire. It's true. But you know, a true believer receives this commandment by the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord requires that every true believer is a follower of him. Now, this is a serious matter, and that's why we're going to talk about responsibilities. Okay? So we turn to John 21, and it's mentioned this commandment of the Lord is mentioned twice, so that for the younger ones, the little ones, when something is repeated twice, at least twice in the Bible, is very, very important. Okay? And this is repeated twice in a very short space of time, in a few verses, verse 19 and verse 22. The Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciple Peter, a great apostle, one of the great apostles, a well-taught man in the truth, not in the cultures of the world. He was a fisherman, but he knew a lot about the truth of God, the Word of God. Now, Jesus says to him, look at it, there's no chance of misunderstanding. He says to him, follow me. Is everything clear? Follow me. No mistake, no misunderstanding. You know, I come from a country where we are experts on misunderstanding stuff. So we make laws and then we say, but really, no, what if he depends on? No, there's nothing unclear about this matter. Christ is calling you tonight and is saying to you, follow me. Remember, it's a commandment. So, what are the responsibilities? Well, the first one that I'd like to bring to your attention is this. What did Peter do? Think of it. So the Lord says, follow me. What does Peter do? He looks away. He looks to the devil. He looks elsewhere. What are we talking about? The Lord has just finished commanding that you should follow him. So here's one responsibility. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Never take your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is the beginning of a long slide. A long slide. And it may take you far, far away. You know, just in Acts 1, so you can see it there, it's just in the other page, chapter 1 and verse 9, what were the disciples doing? Look at it. They said that, and having said these things, he was taken up, they beholding him, and the clouds received him out of their sight in heaven. So, they were looking at the Lord Jesus. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament of a man, a prophet called Elisha. He was following Elijah, wasn't he? And he had a desire to follow Elijah, and he wanted even a double portion, didn't he? And what does Elijah tell him? This is really prophetic, if we can say, of what the Lord will tell us. He says, well, you have to see me. You have to see me going up in heaven. So his eyes, what was the secret? Was the secret because so he could see him and then disappear? The secret was that he had to learn that his eyes had to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In that case, it was Elijah there as a type. But we are talking today, in 2024, our eyes must be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a responsibility of a follower. And here now, you understand where we take different paths from the social media. So, no one in the social media world can keep their eyes fixed on a man or a lady. But we as believers, my dear friend, as followers of Christ, must keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today, your desire should be not to have your eyes fixed on what I say or what I do, but your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are here for the link that you have with him, so that it might be encouraged, so that you might be stirred to move on in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what I say will end up, you know, soon be gone. Monday I'm going home, and all disappears, and we go on, and we're no longer this lovely big number. We're back in our very, very small circles, aren't we? Well, where's the secret? Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the second responsibility is an interesting one, I think, because I think sometimes we're a little bit confused in this. Now, to be a follower of Christ is an individual responsibility. Let me explain this to you. Let me try and be very straightforward. There are many followers of Christ. But you cannot follow Christ by following somebody else. You may take a good example. You may be encouraged by somebody else, by another believer that's gone before, maybe, or that's coming beside you. But it's your individual and my individual responsibility to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So, to help me with that, I want to quote a verse which is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. Listen to what Paul says here. It's very straightforward, very clear. He says, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, it's a beautiful thing to be in a company. You know, my grandmother, who's 95, remembers many, many years ago, thousands of brethren that would walk down to the meeting room every Lord's Day morning. And you know what? My grandma now has lost a little bit her senses and understanding, but until she could, she would have always told me, Vittorio, remember, we trusted the brethren and not the Lord Jesus. Remember, it is not big numbers. It is not understanding of others. Oh, yes, I go to this place or that place. Oh, many people. It's great. It's brilliant. No. When we're talking of followers of Christ, it is an individual and personal responsibility. And remember this. You may then share it and enjoy it with others. Surely. And it's a very encouraging thing, like it is in occasions like these. We are here to share and enjoy fellowship together because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we seek to follow him, don't we? But you cannot follow the Lord Jesus with somebody else. It is a personal, individual matter. Let's get to a slightly less difficult bit, a little bit more relaxing and beautiful. The results of following the Lord Jesus Christ. So we turn to John 12. Now, again, I introduced this section by telling you an interesting thing that I noticed, which I hope to be able to share very clearly to you. And this is it. To be a follower of Christ is a characteristics, is a feature of a man or woman that serves Christ. I'll try and explain this so that we can get the picture of it. The Lord, let's look at the words of the Lord in John 12, verse 26. He says, if anyone serve me, let him follow me. That means that if we're to serve the Lord, we're to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is why I said in the title that to me, following Jesus is the service of a Christian disciple. This is, now we're going to see some of the results of being a follower of Christ, and it's a beautiful aspect, but it's a feature, is a characteristic of a servant of Christ. This has been extremely helpful to me, and maybe it is to other youngsters. When you're young, especially, but I don't think it stops, but when you're younger, you think, what can I do for the Lord Jesus? What can I do? I've been saved. I really want to do something for him. Well, let me tell you, the greatest service you can ever do to the Lord Jesus Christ is to be a follower of Christ. If anyone serve me, let him follow me. It's so important. And it avoids a lot of hassle and a lot of disaster. How many people, how many brothers and sisters in Christ have witnessed to starting with a service and then got too involved in the service and forgot the Master, forgot the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and I think older brothers and sisters here may be able to witness this to you, dear brother or dear sister in Christ. So, let's see two results that I want to share with you. Now, they're both here in the words of the Lord. One is amazing, and the other one too. First one is, what does the Lord says? Look at it, carries on the sentence and says, and where I am, there also shall be my servant. So a follower of Christ will always enjoy his presence. Now I love the way it's written here. You know, there are other sections of the Bible where the Lord says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Or other sections where the Lord says, they follow me, they'll be with me, I'll always be with them. Who abides in me. There's lots of sections of the Bible. But here it tells us that where I am, they also shall be. There shall be my servant. So the result of a follower of Christ is that he enjoys the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is it. You know, we were asked earlier, what is it that they were sharing? What was that situation in Philippi? You know, the joy of being with Christ, having Christ in that family, in that household, was a great thing. It was a great result, and that led them to enjoy that portion of follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is an amazing thing to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Now, one little point. How does this happen in 2024 when the Lord Jesus is no longer here? Okay, and so you read in the Gospels, and everybody likes the Gospels because they're very practical and they're very real, and the Lord Jesus was here, and everything seemed simple because it wasn't, but it seemed simple. Well, the beautiful thing is that God has revealed himself also in the Holy Spirit. Now, my dear friend, the Holy Spirit is the divine person, is God himself present today in this world. And this is a beautiful thing. This is amazing. The Lord says that he ought to go back in heaven so that the Spirit could come. And so that the Holy Spirit may dwell in us and with us, so that we may enjoy God's presence with us. And the beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell near you, or in the house, or in a square near you, or in the road. He dwells in you, in your heart. If you are saved, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, he is in you. And you can enjoy the Lord's presence through the Spirit. So let's look at the last one, and then I promise I'll finish. The last point, the last result that I want to share with you is here. Look at it, it's amazing. He says, the Lord says, if anyone serve me, so if anyone serve him, let him follow me. So if we follow the Lord Jesus, look at it, what does it say? Him shall the Father honor. Now, to explain this, if you allow me, I'm just going to turn to Luke 15. And I'm just going to read this verse. You probably know what I'm talking about. It's a prodigal son. But we come to the end. It's his brother here. And verse 31. Luke 15, verse 31. But he said to him, this is the father speaking to the son. He says to him, child, thou art ever with me. And all that is mine is thine. Isn't that an honor? God the Father is telling us, believers and followers of Christ, that we are with him. And all that is his is ours to enjoy. Isn't that an honor? Isn't that an honor to have God's witness and statement that we are always with him? And that we can enjoy what is his own. There's a verse in scripture that has always affected me. It says that we are partakers of the divine nature. Mm-hmm. Now, I could never ever say that if it wasn't written in scripture. I wouldn't dare say anything like it. Yet I can say it because it's written in the Word of God. So that we are, my dear brother and sister, we are children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. We love him. We're with him. And we can enjoy what is his own. We can enjoy it because we are followers of Christ. My dear friend, I hope you will feel the desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be so for his glory. For his own sake. Amen.